Glory to God. Who's happy to be here tonight? Amen. Just make sure you pray for my voice, because I'm telling you something. I feel my voice is vexing out of this place. But by the grace of God, it shall last in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? How many of you in this place know that you serve a living God? Let me see your hands. Our online family, let me see your hands in the comment section if you know that you serve a living God. Quickly, I want to call Leroy up here. Leroy, I want you to come here quickly. I want to prove to every person that's watching at home and every person in this venue that we serve a living God. Amen. Leroy, I want you to come stand. You say, hi, Leroy. Don't get nervous now. But Leroy has a testimony, a short testimony. We want to testify of the goodness of God, because we want to declare to you that December, nothing is impossible for God. That whatever you might be facing right now, it's easy for God. Whatever situation or circumstance you might be facing right now, it's not even too hard for God. It's easy for God. He can turn any impossible situation around. He can make a road where there looks like a sea. Amen. He can take you to the next level, even being surrounded by impossibilities. Quickly, Roy, I want you to tell the people what happened. This was yesterday, right? So I want, this is a fresh testimony. This is not a testimony from 1963 on the 3rd of May. Amen. I remember I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say this, and when he said it, it offended me. But thank God I'm fine now. He said, some people's testimonies are so old, even God is tired of hearing them. Ish. We serve a living God, and so when we walk in obedience, when we walk according to His Word, perpetual testimonies become our portion. Can you say amen? Not a one-time testimony, not a one-time God. Amen. Leroy, quickly, I want you to tell the people what happened.
Yeah. Okay, so yesterday, myself and two of my friends, we went to go and pray for a boy that was yesterday hit by a car. So during this thing that happened yesterday, this boy went straight into hospital. So the report came back that he went straight into a coma. So that was the report of the devil. Yeah. And my first answer was like, I'm not going to believe the lies of the devil. The devil is a liar. So myself and two of my friends, we went to go and pray for this boy. And the thing is, we didn't even lay hands on this boy. He was in hospital. We were at someone's house, at his father's house. His father didn't even have hope yesterday. But we prayed yesterday. We stepped in. We trust God for a miracle. This morning, the auntie came back and she told us that this boy has recovered. Everything. There was a miracle that happened yesterday. So, yeah, come on. Glory to God, man.
Come on, somebody needs to give God praise. He was in a coma, but somebody decided to pray. Somebody decided to take God at His word, and all of a sudden, what was impossible for man, God brought a turnaround. Is that all you can praise? Is that your level of praise tonight? Hey! Come on. You know, when he told me that before service, I just kept thinking about it, even as I was seated right here in the front. Our God is a miracle worker. Our God is a way maker. He can always make a way. He can always bring about a turnaround. He's always ready to deliver you from the situation that you might be facing. No giant is too hard for our God. No Goliath can block your path. No obstacle can dare stand in your way when He is for you. Not only is God with you, but God is for you. Can you say amen? Hey, I want to give every person that's watching online a warning. I want you to quickly get your communion elements, because we're going to do communion tonight. So please make sure that you do have them with you. But I wanted to declare that to someone, because I believe in this hour, we need to have urgency rise up in our hearts. We need to be people who have urgency. We need to be people who can't just sit and settle and be okay with what's happening right now in the world. I want you to realize something, and I've preached this many times on Friday nights, I've preached this on Sunday, but you are God's chosen instrument for here and for now. It doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter what you've been through. All that matters is that you've given your heart to Him, and that you're yielded to His word, and you're faithful with what He has called you to do, and God will use you as His chosen instrument here and now. Just as God said about the same thing about Saul, who became Paul, He said to Ananias, "He is my chosen vessel, my chosen instrument." So God says the same about every single one of you in this place and every single one of you at home, that you are His chosen instrument for here and for now. Can you say amen if you believe it? You see, the instrument, the devil wants you to believe that you're a nobody, that you're not anything significant, that you can't do anything for God. But he is a liar. Say he's a liar. The devil is a fool and he's under your feet. The devil is not the same level of you as you. He is under your feet. He lives under your feet. Do not allow the devil to lie to you. This is what the word of God says. You are his chosen instrument. You know, a scripture we love to read, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is one that I've heard so many times over and over again. But let me tell you something. If there's something that is so dangerous, and I want you to understand this, when we become familiar with scripture, you become a victim. Familiarity with scripture will make you a victim. But when you approach the word of God in a position of reverence for him, in a position of faith, and in a position of honor, you become victorious in this life here and now. He empowers you to become an overcomer. You see, every time you hear John 3 verse 16, many people switch off because they've allowed familiarity to become their portion. And familiarity nullifies the power of God's word in your life. And so every time you hear scripture, we must open up our hearts and we must be in a place of, God, I'm open and ready to receive from your word. Because he always has a fresh word from you. You don't have to eat a loaf of bread left over from 3 weeks ago that's still got mold on it that will walk by itself away. No, he's got fresh bread for you. Amen. Who likes fresh bread? Ish. Some of you have been eating three-day-old bread. It's time to get fresh bread tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may what? That you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, you're not here just to tell people that you're a chosen generation. You're here to demonstrate to people that you're a chosen generation. You're not here just to say you are. You're here to show that you are. Somebody needs to get that. You're not here just to say that you are, but you're here to live a life that causes you to be a sign and a wonder so people will look at you and glorify God in you. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 24, they glorified God in me. Do you know that's a scripture? They didn't glorify us. They don't glorify you. They glorify what God is doing on the inside of you. You see, when you subscribe to his word, when you say, God, you have called me to be a royal priesthood in this hour, not one day in heaven. You've called me to proclaim the gospel here and now. When you step into kingdom identity, you begin to do significant things for God. People begin to look at you and say, aren't you the one from that small town called East London? How is it that you're preaching to thousands of people? How is it that you have a multi-million dollar, million rand, million whatever business? Aren't you that nobody that came from this place? No, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a chosen generation. I'm set apart for such a time as this to represent my Father in heaven. And it's when you step into who you are in Christ that people will look upon you and they will glorify God in you. Man, if there's a scripture I want you to grab a hold of, it's that portion of scripture. They glorified God in me. You see, where you are tonight, you don't have to stay there. Where you are right now at home, where you're watching, the situation that you're facing, you don't have to stay in that situation. You don't have to stay at that current level that you're at right now. God wants to do something significant. God wants to take you to that next level. He wants to do it exceedingly and abundantly above all that you might ask or even think. Amplified Classic, super abundantly. Say super abundantly. That's what God wants to do in your life. You're a chosen generation for such a time as this. You're one that carries the divine solution in this hour. The Bible says in Colossians, Christ in me, the what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. realize something, that as you gave your life to Jesus tonight, those of you who gave your heart to Him, you now have become a distribution center for hope to a hopeless world. But I'm nobody. I'm just a, this is all. No, that's not who you are in God. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You're set apart for such a time as this. You've got purpose. You've got destiny in Him. And this is who you are. And it's time to start to believe it, that you're set apart for such a time as this. And it's Christ in me. It's Christ in you who is the hope of glory. And I want you to know something. In the month of December, there's many people that you're going to encounter that have lost all hope, that have given up on everything. They've given up on their family. They've given up on their own life, and they're ready to end it. But you are a distribution center for hope. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the one that you carry. See, the greater one doesn't just want to dwell in you. He wants to work through you. We carry the gift. We're earthen vessels with a great treasure on the inside of us. And He wants to work through you. And it's time for us to get going. It's time for us to forget about our own agenda. And it's time to say, God, Your kingdom agenda here and now is my priority. Look at the person next to you and say, it's time to get going. Because there's people that you're going to encounter in the month of December. It's only the 3rd of December right now. But there's people that are going to come across your path. And they need the hope that you carry. They need what you carry. Young people, hear my heart. Hear what God is saying to you, that you are His chosen instrument. You're not a muted instrument. And now in this hour, it's time for us to say, God, in the month of December, I'm not just going to chill on the side and play Xbox and do nothing and chill. No, God, use me when I'm at the shops. God, show me someone to speak to. Show me someone to message. Show me someone to pray for. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you see, the reality is there's many people, and I want to highlight this, because when you begin to recognize this, urgency rises up in your heart that there's many people that are dying and going to hell every single day. There's many people who've never been presented the opportunity because Christians have kept their mouth shut. The question I want to ask you tonight is, are you moved by the silent cries of the world as they cry out for an answer? You see, you don't just carry a suggestion, but you carry the solution. His name is Christ Jesus. He is the hope of glory. See, this is the gospel. This is the good news that you carry. How dare we shut our mouths? How dare we not open up and say that which we carry on the inside of? How dare we not proclaim Him? I want you to write this down. The twofold call of every single believer. I'm not speaking to the fivefold, those who are called into ministry. I'm speaking to children of God now. Every single one of us, we're sons and daughters of God. And you have a twofold call. Number one, you are called to proclaim. This is the most simple message, but it's what this is the gospel. Number one, we are called to proclaim. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19, what does it say? Go ye therefore into where? Into all the world. And what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And now you look at it in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. This is speaking to believers. You see, it's time for us to get going. It's time for us, as we in December, not to slow down, but saying, God, I need to proclaim You to somebody today. The twofold call of every single believer. Number one, you are called to proclaim Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, we see how the apostles, how they encountered the word of life. And the Bible says, we proclaim to you the one that we have seen and the one that we have heard. We're called to preach the gospel to all the world. Wherever you are, wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, you're in that place, not by accident, not because you had to go to spa to get a loaf of bread, but you're there as a divine answer to somebody's prayer. Nothing just happens. Nothing just happens by chance. Think about this. You are someone's intervention. You are someone's answer to their prayer that they've been having, saying, God, send somebody. The twofold call of every believer. Number one, we're called to proclaim. We're called to announce. We're called to preach. Not just the fivefold. God was speaking to every believer. Those who have called upon His name. Those who say, I'm saved. Those who have said, Jesus, you're my Lord and you're my Savior. And here's the reality that if He's your Savior, He needs to be your Lord. Many Christians only have a Savior, but they don't have a Lord. Lord means you do what He says. So when He says go, we what? And I want you to realize something. He said, go ye therefore into all the world. He hasn't said come back. So we got to continue going until He tells us to come back. Tell somebody it's time to get going. The second thing, we are called to demonstrate the gospel. So number one, you're called to proclaim. Number two, you are called to demonstrate. You've heard us preach this so often, but it's so vital for this to be something that burns on your heart, that this world doesn't need another definition of Christianity. It actually needs the demonstration of the Word of God, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20 that the kingdom of heaven is not in talk, but it's living by God's power. It's the demonstration of God's power. And so Christianity, without a demonstration, that's why Jesus said, these signs might follow. These signs could follow. These signs by chance might happen. No, He said these signs will follow. Who will they follow? Those that believe. Say, that's me. Signs and wonders must follow you because you believe. That cousin that's dying of leukemia, you are the person that can lay your hands upon them and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you've been called to go into all the world. And number two, the Bible says that when you're going, these signs will follow you. Why? Because you believe. And because you've been given the name above every name. And at that name, every knee must bow. Leukemia must bow to the name of Jesus. Cancer must bow to the name of Jesus. COVID-19, whatever variant they want to make, must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And you are a carrier of this reality. You are a carrier of this truth in this hour, irrespective of your age. You can be the most effective 14-year-old that the earth has ever seen. God can use you to shake East London here and now. Not one day, today. Not one day I'm going to be, and God's going to use me. No, today God can use you. The question is, will you present yourself to Him? The second, we are called to demonstrate the gospel. Because we don't serve some dead religion. You see, that's the reality. Christianity without the demonstration of God's power, Christianity without laying our hands upon the sick and seeing supernatural things happen, it means we're just another religion. We're just another sect. We're just another group. We're just another cult. But the difference is we serve the Most High God. The one who still lays, the one who still, when we stretch forth our hands, the Bible says He stretched forth His hands. You carry resurrection power on the inside of you. You carry the power of God on the inside of you. No matter what size you are, big, small, medium, The power of God dwells on the inside. The same spirit, not a different spirit, not a second-hand spirit, not one of the back shelf. The same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you. Do you know you carry resurrection power? Do you know that it dwells on the inside of you? Look at somebody and tell them it's time to get going. See, God's agenda, I want you to hear this. God's agenda has not changed. He has called us to seek and to save the lost. This was the mission of the Son of Man. And you see, we love to preach, as He is, so are we on this earth. And we speak about it in power. We speak about it in authority. But if all of those are true, then every aspect of Him is true. He still wishes, He still desires to seek and to save. But the difference is now you're His instrument. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me, but I don't want to win souls. His heart is to seek and to save. And you're His chosen instrument for here and for now to go after. You know what that word seek means? It means to desire. It means to crave after. That's what He did when He was on this earth. He was seeking. He was looking for those who He could save. He was looking for those whose hearts were turned towards Him. And nothing has changed about Him to this day. The only difference is you are His instrument here and now to go and to seek, so that you can offer them the gift that you've received freely, the gift of salvation. And you see, we've got to have this urgency in our heart, and this urgency doesn't come by chance. This urgency begins to rise up in our hearts when we have a mindset of eternity. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and verse 11, He's placed eternity in the hearts of man. The reality is every single person that's alive right now, we will spend our eternity in one or the other places, either hell or heaven, no in between. And it's when we begin to have this mindset, listen to me, young people, when you keep this mindset of eternity in your brain, in the front of your head, always knowing that Jesus is coming back soon, urgency begins to rise up in your heart. Jesus carried out His works with urgency. I must work the works of Him who has sent me. Because night is coming when no man can work. This is a scripture that's been rising in my spirit, because what I'm preaching to you now, I'm not just ministering to you, but God, by His Spirit, is ministering it to my heart as well. We need to work the works. We need to be about our Father's business. You've got family members that need Jesus. Why has your mouth been shut? Do the cries of the lost, does it move you? Does the cries of those who have not received Jesus, does it move your heart? This needs to be a prayer of every single believer. God, let me never be in the place where I'm familiar. Let me never be in the place where I'm standing at the side of the cliff and I'm watching the lost fall off and die and go into hell. Let that not be me who stands there with my hands shut, who can quote every scripture but never does anything about it. And I'm not preaching this out of a place of condemnation, but I'm preaching this out of a place to put urgency on the inside of you. And you want to know what keeps you urgent? Remembering this right here. Hold your cup wherever you are. Hold the bread wherever you are. My prayer tonight is, as we partake of communion, yes, we remember the price that was paid. That's what Jesus told us to do. We remember. Number two, we remember that He's coming back again. And number three, we remember this, that He has given us a mandate for here and for now. And our mandate, our earthly assignment, is time sensitive. It's time sensitive. Hear me, young people. It is time sensitive. Jesus is coming back soon. You know, the Apostle Paul, in I think it's 3 John, he said, this is the last hour. I'm telling you something, if in the Word of God it was the last hour, then we must be in the final seconds of time. See, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you testified of what God has done in your life? When's the last time you told that friend that's been at school that's been crying because their family is falling apart? When's the last time you said to them, hey, Jesus loves you? That person, that friend, that coworker that you have at work that's crying, their life is falling apart because they don't have a father. When was the last time that you said, that you looked at them and you said, hey, there's a God in heaven that loves you and He is the perfect Father? See, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Because I want you to realize something. With the new creation reality, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. With this reality comes a responsibility. And the Bible says in verse 18 that He hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. With the reality of being born again, it comes with a ministry and it's called reconciliation. Every single one of us in this place, if you say that I'm a new creation, congratulations, but you also have a responsibility and it's to reconcile others unto Him. I'm not called into the ministry. Yes, you are. So as you hold the elements, my prayer tonight is that as you partake, an impartation of urgency comes into your heart tonight. That a revelation of the time being short begins to come awake on the inside of you, begins to awaken in your heart that you can't shut your mouth any longer. That you can't just watch people pass by any longer. But you must speak. You must be like Jeremiah, who when he tried to shut his mouth, the word of God, it burnt like fire on the inside of him. He could not hold it in. He had to speak. So I want you to hold it in your hands. Father, we thank you for both of these elements and what it represents. The back that was beaten for us, the flesh that came off his body that was broken for us so that we can be made whole. And the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. The blood that speaks a better word, the blood that will never lose its power. The blood that covers us and gives us right standing with you. Father God, I pray now that as your sons and your daughters partake of it now at home and in this place, let urgency rise in their heart to proclaim in Jesus' mighty name. You may partake of both of the elements. Everybody that's in this venue, I want to do what I've been doing lately. I want you to stretch your hands at the camera. This camera right here, we've got 13 seconds. Stretch your hands towards this camera. We command you to be blessed in Jesus' name. We'll see you same time, same place next week, Friday. Be blessed in Jesus' name.